Father God, speak to our hearts afresh through these passages today, we pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. So today is Palm Sunday, where we remember Jesus entering through the gates of Jerusalem at Passover. It's the beginning of a week that would challenge and provoke a wide range of responses and reactions and ultimately lead to the cross and our salvation. It's also the last in our series of looking at the words that Jesus said from the cross. So obviously we'll be touching on that passage from Luke later on. As we come to the end of Lent and the beginning of Holy Week, it's a time when we too can reflect on our own responses to whatever Lent has taught us and be challenged as to what difference this is going to make to our relationship with Jesus, the one who became sin for us, the one perfect sacrifice, the one who enables us to stand before God as his forgiven children, the one by whom we enter as a righteous people. This is not something to be taken for granted. As Ian reminded us last week, in reflecting on all that Jesus did on the cross, we stand on holy ground. As Jesus entered Jerusalem, he understood where the journey was going to take him. And he repeatedly tried to help his disciples to understand the significance of what was happening. Both they and the people pouring into the city had no trouble understanding the significance of Jesus riding on a donkey, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy in Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Nor did the religious leaders of the time fail to miss the point. It sparked outrage and claims of blasphemy. As the people rejoiced in their festal procession, shouting Hosanna and proclaiming, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, praising God with boughs in hand, it's hard to imagine how Jesus must have felt, knowing that these same people who were singing his praises would, within the week, either have abandoned him or be demanding his execution. How frail and fickle is our human condition, how feeble our frame. He knew that he would be the stone that the builders rejected. Now, Psalm 118 has particular significance of Passover. The six psalms from 113 to 118 were sung during the Passover meal, the first two at the start of the meal, and the last four after the meal. They're psalms of rescue and salvation, of celebration and deliverance. As the last song after the Passover meal, Psalm 118 would have been the last song sung before Jesus and his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane. It's a song of God's enduring love. Verse 5 of the psalm says, When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me to a spacious place. I love that idea of a spacious place. And in a way, Lent has been a spacious place for us to reflect on everything that Jesus did. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me to a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. In Luke 22, we see how much Jesus was in anguish about what was to come. He was, after all, fully man as well as fully God. He prayed, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And in verses 43 and 44, we see that an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. We can be in no doubt as to the depth of the pain and suffering at this point. And his betrayal, trial, torture, and subsequent execution was still to come. Jesus' very identity would be called into question. Through chapters 22 and 23 of Luke, you can hear people constantly asking him, If you're the Messiah, tell us. Are you the Son of God? Are you the king of the Jews? He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah, the chosen one. Are you the king of the Jews? Save yourself. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. The irony of this last comment hurled at Jesus as abuse was that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, and he was sent to save. Psalm 118 is a song of salvation. Jesus understood that though rejected, he would become the chief cornerstone, that he would be gloriously raised up and be the salvation of the world, the very reason he came as Emmanuel, God with us, to seek and save the lost, to seek and save us. God's perfect rescue plan. Luke describes the final moments in dramatic detail. An unearthly darkness descends over the whole land, as if creation mourns for the sun stopped shining. Jesus, as we've sung, punished for a world's transgressions, for our transgressions, fights for breath, he fights for me. God forsaken and separated from his heavenly Father because of us, because of me. Taking the whole weight of sin, bearing the full wrath of God. Torn from God's presence because of us, because of me. And as he cries, it's finished. The curtain of the temple is torn in two. Now, I've looked into the temple curtain, been reading a lot about the tabernacle in the Old Testament at the minute, and trying to get an understanding of the scale of this piece of fabric. And there seems to be sort of differing measurements, but from what I've read, it was huge, over 10 metres wide, over 10 metres high. It filled the temple. It completely separated the people from the Holy of Holies in the temple. And it was inches thick, you know, woven in intricate detail. It was a solid, symbolic and, in the temple, a physical barrier between a broken, unfaithful and sinful people and the holy presence of God. And this curtain, which would probably fill this space, was torn in two, divinely torn from the top to the bottom. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he said this, he breathed his last. A perfect sacrifice made once for all. And we are now free to enter into the presence of God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Psalm 18 again. The Lord has done this, and it is marvellous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, save us. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. Luke goes on to tell us about the various people gathered around the cross that day and how they responded. The centurion, a Roman and a Gentile, seen as the enemy by many, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." In the accounts in Matthew and in Luke, he goes further. Surely he was the Son of God. After all the questioning, after all the mocking and insults, Jesus is seen for who he truly is, the Christ, the Saviour of the world. The people who'd gathered round to witness the crucifixion, the spectators, were conscience stricken by what they saw. They beat their breasts and went away. And we do not know what, if any, long-term impact the death of Jesus had on their lives after that. Then there were those who knew him, who'd followed him from Galilee, standing at a distance, watching these things, unable to comprehend what had happened or what it might mean, fearful of what it might mean for them personally to be known as a follower of Jesus, unsure of what the future might hold. So where are we? As we come to the end of Lent and the beginning of Holy Week, where do we stand at the foot of the cross? Are we like the centurion, feeling like an outsider, but drawn to this Jesus, recognizing him as something more, something profound and divine, daring to believe that he loved me and died for me, so that I could be freed from all the mess and mistakes I make, daring to believe in a new and eternal life with him? Are we like the spectators, appalled by the brutality of the cross and a sense of injustice, but at the end of the day, we'll go away from this place unchanged, the sceptic in us not prepared to explore whether the claims of Jesus were true, but to dismiss the events as a cruel miscarriage of justice and the death of a good man, but nothing personal? Are we like those who knew Jesus, watching things unfold from a distance, watching but not really knowing what our next step should be, perhaps fearful of what God might be asking of us? How does what Jesus did and said from the cross change us? I'm a little bit of a fan of the Church of England's apps. I find them incredibly helpful. And they've had one recently called Live Lent. And I'd just like to read the reflection for Palm Sunday. Holy Week begins today as we celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Crowd cheering, branches waving. Today also marks the start of the last week of Jesus' life on earth, his journey to the cross and to death, and through death to life. Jesus says, "I am the way. Walk with me. Follow me. Come with me to the Father." To follow Jesus is not primarily to follow a code of practice or even a rule of life. It's to walk with him. At the beginning of his ministry, he invited people to come and see and live. At the end of his life, he does the same. So let us journey with him. If we believe, along with the centurion and disciples, that Jesus is the Son of God, if we're at all moved to understand the full magnitude of what he did for us on the cross, then by his death and resurrection we can come to the presence of a holy, awesome God and have eternal life in him. And then we, along with the psalmist, can sing for joy. Earlier on in the psalm it says, "Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done." Wherever we stand, let's not let the reflections of Easter or the earth-shattering good news of Easter leave us unchanged. Let us earnestly seek to know and understand more of the height and breadth and depth of God's sacrificial love for us. Let us ask questions and look to God for answers as we move from this Palm Sunday into Holy Week. "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Let's give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Amen.